to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Welcome to Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, place where we love you, we bless you, and we appreciate you being here with us today. Oh my God, just want to take a moment to breathe here, breathe all of this in. I love the month of January in Science of Mind. It is the month in which we savor the deliciousness of the foundation of Ernest Holmes' teachings. The first four chapters of the Science of Mind text is filled with what I call awesome wonder. It is a time for us to understand what we are preparing for, and one needs to be prepared. I had a situation as I was preparing this talk where I said to myself, oh, you know, the theme is living in wonder. So let me go to the glossary of the Science of Mind text and find the definition of wonder. So I went to the text and I did not find the word wonder in the back of the text. So I closed the text and I thought for a moment, and I started to prepare, and then a smile came upon my lips and I said, oh, this whole text is filled with wonder, with the experience of wonder. And what I told myself was, haven't you read things in this text where you just had to close the book? You read something that Ernest wrote and you closed the book and you go, I wonder what he meant by that. And I've had a lot of those moments reading this text. I have, especially these first four chapters. And starting with the thing itself, Reverend Nadine so beautifully last week when she referred to the beginner's mind, understanding that we don't know everything, but that we have the capacity to be and explore and seek always. Ernest Holmes describes the thing itself as the first cause, spirit, mind, that invisible essence, that ultimate stuff and intelligence, the power back of creation. He says, we accept this thing itself and believe it. I know for the longest time, people would ask me, you know, do you believe in God? And I said, oh yeah, I believe in God, you know, but did I really believe it? And for me today, I believe it. When I say I believe in God, I believe it. I believe in this thing, this essence, this incredible thing that is that universal knowing that it is inside of me, inside of everyone. I truly believe it, you know. And Ernest goes on to say in the second chapter, he says, the way it works, the knowing that there's only one life back of everything that lives, it is inside, permeating, flowing through every single thing. And what it does, he questions that in that third chapter. And he says, what it does, that divine mind is infinite. We are always surrounded by a mind or intelligence that knows everything, that knows everything. Can you imagine? Sometimes I have to shake my head because this intelligence that is everywhere present knows everything. That's only when I think I know everything. You know, Reverend Bradine talked about it last week when she says we don't know everything, you know, but the intelligence knows everything and then how to use it. It has been proven that by thinking correctly, Ernest says, and by conscious mental use of the law of mind, we can cause it to do definite things for us through us as us. Oh, the beauty of that. Through us, as we open up ourselves and become open to it all, to every single thing. It works through us, through each and every one of us. And when we desire to know more about it, we stop and we think, how do we bring that desire up to the surface? And how do we use it? Our own sense of being, a beginning which allows us time and space to nurture a fragile new understanding of who we truly are. A fragile, fragile, that baby fragileness of knowing and understanding of who we truly are. It is said that we can only get to a place of who we truly are by getting to know God first. So who is this God of understanding, of our understanding, of our own individual understanding? Because the God of our understanding is always individual. It is always individual. Years ago, a friend of mine used to say that their God of their understanding was Lucille Ball. And at the beginning, when my friend used to say that, I used to like cringe and go like, oh, how can he say that? You know, but later on when he explained it to me, I understood. I understood when he said that when he used to watch Lucille Ball, the shows, Lucille Ball would make him laugh. Just laugh with joy, and he would feel that inside of him. And I knew that he had that God of his understanding. Years ago, my friend used to say, he used to have a little joke about the Genesis and understanding in the beginning God. When God in the Bible used to say, in the beginning God said, let there be light. My friend always used to say, what God really meant and what really happened in the beginning was that God said, hey, you guys, lighten up. So as we lighten up and start to live our lives in a state of wonder, we see how at first our lives were of the earth. Everything began with us, with some outer condition or event, but there was no satisfaction. So with divine discontent as our beginning, the spiritual journey began. At first, we did not consciously desire a closer walk with God. We just wanted solutions to our problems. That was enough for us, we thought. Gradually, as God's Spirit's desire for us became our desire for God, we opened up ourselves to this great understanding, this great tingling inside of us that became a desire. We walked the spiritual path consciously, and problems came to us, but so did solutions. Peace and many of the joys of human existence became ours, but one thing was missing. One thing was missing, a sense of mission and purpose. As Mary Jane just read in that beautiful reading, a sense of purpose. So for everyone who knows God, there is a purpose with a meaningful mission to fulfill. There becomes a passion, this thing inside of each and every one of us for a life and energy to do the work that is ours to do. Our beloved Betty, who made her transition last week, a week and a half ago, right before her 100th birthday, when she was recently, within the last couple of months, interviewed before she made her transition, she said, without passion and purpose to life, there is no footprint to leave behind. There is no footprint to leave behind. And I know I want to have footprints in my life. So Ernest Holmes, and I'll share this with you because there is a paragraph in the Science of Mind text on page 63 that is entitled, In the Beginning, God. And Ernest says, we wish to discover what to believe in and why we believe in it and why such belief is reasonable. And insofar as possible, to enter into the nature of the invisible cause of this manifest of life of ours. We wish to discover how this cause works, its relationship to us, our relationship to it, and how we may use this knowledge. How we may use this knowledge. There is a story about Albert Einstein, and we all know who Albert Einstein is, right? We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be Zooming or in the streaming right now if it hadn't been for him. When he attended a party, he was asked to sign this registry with his name and what he was interested in. So he thought for a moment as he was signing his name. And next to his name, he wrote that what he was interested was in everything. And he wrote it in capital letters so that whoever was reading it would understand that about him, that he was interested in everything. And that to me is the beginner's mind, being interested in every single thing, in every single thing that is around us, above us, below us, the seen and the unseen in life, and rejoicing in it. Like Edison, let us cultivate our sense of God-given wonder. There are so many things left to be discovered. So many questions. So many questions. Unanswered both in our own minds and in the wonder world, the wider world. Often it just takes us lifting up our heads above the humdrum of the day. I know sometimes when I go for my walk in this past year and a half, I started at the beginning to go for those walks and I was looking down to the ground. But then one day as I was walking, I started to look up at the trees and to see how the branches would spread out and how blue the sky was. And I started to see the uncharted essence of looking up. Looking up. And I saw that there was this amazing, amazing grandeur. And it was a territory to be explored. So for me today, and for us, let us know the wonder of God's Spirit everywhere. And let's follow it to startling, startling places. I know this year has been a place where I know we've all been just broken open in ways that we never, never even imagined that we would be broken open. But it is so glorious and so wonderful to know that we can be broken up in this way and to see the grandeur of it all. In that same paragraph, Ernest Holm goes on to say, the world is tired of mysteries, does not understand symbols, and it longs for reality. So what is reality? Where may it be found and how used? There are some of the questions, and these are some of the questions that one should like to have answered. So where do we begin? How are we to live our lives? There's a verse in the Bible from Jeremiah 2:32 that says, my people have forgotten me, days without wonder. We don't want to forget. I don't want to forget. I want to always be in that place of knowing and understanding, because we have that memory and forgettery. Sometimes we do forget. We do forget. So let us remember that in the beginning, it is always God. In the beginning, there is always Spirit. And there is only intelligence. So as we journey through life and life experience, Let us begin to open up ourselves to a new way of life, to prepare ourselves, to want to take a moment now, in this very moment, to see and reflect, and to see the things in front of us that might form our experiences. I know there are some things that have formed my experiences in life, and I'm going to share some things with you right now. And by no means are they the beginning or the end to everything, because I feel like God is always revealing things to me. But they can maybe form a beginning for you too. And I have learned there are about 6 things. And now as I have gotten a little bit more seasoned in my life, first, I have learned to let go. Let go. Let go of all those beliefs that block me from my highest and my best. And I encourage you to let go of all those things. There is a line in the Signs of My text, which Reverend Nadine last week said, there's a power for good and we can use it. We can use it. How important it is to remember that we are spiritual beings living in a spiritual world, governed by a spiritual law, that knows all, It is spiritual. It is here right now. There is a line in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which I'll share with you. And I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit. He says, Bill Wilson said, first of all, we have to quit playing God. I know for me, in the letting go process, I had to quit playing God. I thought I knew everything. And remember Nadine last week said, we don't know. We don't know what we don't know, right? Because I thought I knew what was right for me and for every single person in my life, and I knew everything there was, but I didn't know anything. And then it goes to say, hereafter in the drama of life, spirit is our director. And I remember when I read those words, knowing and understanding that I had to not only let go, but I had to let God so I could let go. Let God so I could let go. There is a quote from the Buddha that says, in the end, only 3 things matter. How much you loved, how gently you lived, and how gracefully you let go of things not meant for you. And oh, I'm so glad that that is a lesson that I have learned on this journey. And I truly, truly believe that is the foundation of so many things, letting God and letting go. And humility, oh my goodness, the lessons I have learned through humility, knowing that I'm not better than anyone and that no one is better than I am. There is a quote by C.S. Lewis, he was an associate Supreme Court judge. Don't think of yourself less, but think less of yourself. When we speak of humility, we speak of self-acceptance. We accept that God is always doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. True humility is about letting go of self-will and relying instead upon the will of a higher power, which we call God. It is a true alignment of spiritual energy, the God of our understanding, aligning ourselves with the will of God. My will with God's will. My will. Our will with the will of God. That universal intelligence. And third, be in the here and now. Be in this moment. Sacredly listen more. Internal listening. Intuitional listening. Curious listening. Curious listening. That is something that I recently have been using a lot more curious listening. When somebody says to me, I have planted a garden or I have planted some bulbs, that when I listen to those words from someone else, that curious understanding, that curious wonder, my next question to them is, oh, what kind of bulbs were they? What colors are you going to see in those bulbs when the spring comes? That curious listening, listening without words. I laugh when I say that because I know my husband is still trying to teach me to listen without words. Sometimes he speaks and I'm about to jump in there with something, but I'm learning that lesson more and more because he's teaching me that, to listen without words. That's how I learn more about others. And that's how I learn to be in the here and now. Gratitude. My theme for 2022 is, in 2022, I am filled with gratitude. One of the greatest get-rich schemes is gratitude. Best-kept secret, gratitude. Being grateful for everything, seen or unseen. Remember that it's all good because it is all God. How do we prosper? By being grateful. As we tend to our spiritual life and keep attentive to the whispers of our heart and stay in tune to God's guidance, let us rely on our spiritual intuition to discern our path forward and be grateful. Be grateful in all things. And here's one, my fifth one that I have learned. Managing our fears. There's a saying I often use, if you worry, why pray? If you pray, why worry? We know in these teachings that our thoughts are prayers, and we are the only ones that can change our thinking. Being conscious again of how we are using our higher power, the God of our personal understanding. If we live life with fear, which is false evidence appearing real, what we are doing is bringing about and creating and manifesting ill health and negative activities in our lives. And who wants that type of life? Not me. And I know you guys don't want that. So, yeah, just letting go of that fear. There is a saying that I had heard years ago, but recently popped up for me, right? What my consciousness and my brain doesn't know, I cannot see, I cannot feel, and I cannot be. Take a deep breath. And the last one is, I had recently mentioned, purpose. As we come full circle, here it is again, purpose. We all ask ourselves, what is our purpose? I admit, I haven't always been purposeful and I haven't always lived a true purpose in my life. But today I do pay more attention to what I truly want in my life and the life of all those around me. Not in a place of thinking that I know what other people should have in their lives, but just knowing that there is a purpose in our life. In every single thing, there is a purpose. So I ask myself, what kind of footprints do I want to leave behind? What kind of footprints do you want to leave behind? Remember again, what the consciousness and the brain doesn't know. You cannot feel, see, or be. There was a quote from, I read my spiritual guide, a daily guide, one of them, because I read so many every day, from an ordained minister. His name was Jim Rosenberger. He was back from the 80s and 90s. He wrote in a spiritual guide, a wise creator must have reason for creation. Human beings may believe they were created to live, work, raise children, so the race can continue and then die. If this were true, then our creator would have little vision, right? there is a grander plan, and it is unfolding now. Spirit has purpose, and we are the center of which the purpose unfolds. In truth, without us, the divine plan remains only a possibility. So let us first turn Godward in a prayerful word, a prayerful way. So let us remember that there is a grander plan. It is unfolding here and now, in this moment, because we are the center of which the purpose of life unfolds. Let's explore it all. Be curious. See the wonder all around us. Be happy. Be joyful. Be enthusiastic and grateful about everything. So now, as a collective group, let's take a moment to see the Columbia Center for Spiritual Center's grander plan for our new minister as we say these words together and feel this covenant in our hearts. There is only one life. This life is good. This life is God. This life is my life now. And knowing that I am one with this life that is God, I therefore know that I am one with all of its blessed expressions, which includes the presence of a new minister from my beloved spiritual community. Because I know that the highest purpose of my new minister is to express God. I know that my new minister is a revelation of God as love. I further know that my new minister is the fulfillment of that which has been promised by the God, for it is written, wherever you are, whatever you do, be love. As I understand in agreement with my beloved community, I see my new minister revealed before me as a gracious expression of divine love, wholeness, and light. So let us take a moment to now intend to experience our new minister in full cooperation and agreement with our community, knowing this truth about ourselves. 4. I am inspired to live and love each day with God as my source of inspiration. I am awakening my understanding of my divinity and the divinity of all. I am demonstrating the truth, wisdom, and wholeness of God. I am being an example of caring, acceptance, and generosity in our community and beyond. I am being a light in the world while living and teaching the principles of science of mind. I now accept the highest expression of a new minister into my life. I know that they are revealed in a way that expresses God and serve the highest and greatest good of all who are touched by their presence. I am grateful. God is gracious, and so it is, and so it is. I normally finish with a little tune from Motown, but today I'm going to change it up a little bit. I'm just going to share. It's from a John Lennon song, Imagine. And I'm just going to sing the lyric, the chorus. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Remember to remember that in the beginning it is always God. Live in the wonder of it all. And so it is. Namaste.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, ColumbiaCSL.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@ColumbiaCSL.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.